Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة.
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليرشد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وجمعة مبارك أما بعد يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا والنساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيب صدق الله العظيم. An expression of this, the first verse of the fourth surah, chapter of the Quran. Chapter An-Nisa, the women, says, O mankind, be regardful of your guardian evolver who created you from a single spiritual essence and created from it its mate and from the two of them scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Be regardful of Allah whom you implore for your mutual rights and be regardful of the relationships for surely Allah is ever over you as a supervisor. Sadaqallah al-Azim, surely Allah, the Mightiest, has spoken the truth. To proceed, the subject that we are going into, we began last week with something of an introduction, we'll call it part one, and that is of the self, just for a refresher in terms of Where are we going? What are we doing? Where have we started? There are five darori, there are five obligatory pillars for building ummah. Building ummah is the goal and the role of every Muslim everywhere at all times. The mission for the Turkish is the same, the Moroccans is the same, I'm going to say the Saudis because the country is called Saudi Arabia. And everywhere else you find Muslims in Asia, South America, the mission is the same. Build ummah. Build ummah. And everybody has to build it under the circumstances that they find themselves. So the strategy for one may not be the right strategy for the other because circumstances are different for one than the other, but not spending time there. The idea is family is critical, intellect is critical, religion, that is our ritual practice, is critical. And when we say critical, it's imperative, not just critical, it's imperative, it's necessary, the absence of which would mean that it's incomplete without it, right? So religion is our ritual life, our worship life, because we know the right title for al-Islam is deen, which includes everything, not just the ritual side of our life, but we've said that many, many, many times. So family, intellect, religion, the self, speaking of your nafs, your own personality, who you are, that's critical. And all of the object is that all these areas must be healthy, right? So you have that nafs, that's personality, and then you have the property, which is your material life. These are all English words, but when we say property, I use these letterings to make it easy to remember, not to set what has to be the order that they need to be developed or described as first, but take away the T at the end and put a P there, and you got first P. And then you can remember it's family, it's intellect, it's religion, it's self, and it's property. Right, those are the derived imperatives for the establishment of ummah. So in terms of the what we've covered, quote unquote, to the extent that we're going to cover and can cover, there you have family. We covered family, we covered marriage, and we decided to start with self. Last week was the first portion under that particular heading. We don't set a boundary on, I don't know when we're going to finish this part of it. It just doesn't matter. It can be months, it can be weeks, I don't know. but when Allah helps us, according to my acceptance of it being from Allah, I say, okay, that's enough. Then, mashallah. So self. And so part two today. And my object is the goal is for everybody to understand what we're talking about in terms of self and understand it in an operational way, meaning that does your understanding of yourself give you a way to be that advances your life? Everybody, a lot of people have an idea about self, but is that particular definition or description of self one that enables you to make progress and patterned progress, right? Because you can have the wrong idea and identify self in the wrong way, and you're operating upon that map, and the map doesn't match the territory, so you're not going to get to where you want to go. So who do we look to for the map? We look to the creator of all of us. We look to the creator of all of us. Allah is the one who designed us. Allah is the one who patterned us. Allah is the one that sets the path for us. And Allah is the one who has favored us with the map. But the map is just not simply, you know, just open it up, fold it out, look at it, and there it is. No. You have to learn about it. You have to study it. And that's a part of what we're talking about. So to proceed after that preface, understand this. We are created from a universal soul that is reflected in matter. Where do you get that? What I just read to you. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. الناس human beings. يا أيها الناس, God is talking to human beings. All human beings. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم, اتقوا ربكم, be regardful of your guardian evolver. الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. He created, خلقكم, he created all of you from a single spiritual essence. I'm just reading directly what the book says. Okay? So, where do we come from? God created us. How did he create? He created us min nafsim wahida. So just zero in on just that statement. Nafsim wahida. Your question should be, what is nafsim wahida? Translation, the unitary self, nafsum wahida, a spiritual essence that is one, something that is one, nafsum wahida, that's one, one nafs. He created you all from one nafs. Okay, take that, lay that down as a foundation. That is true. That is true. It is true that we are all from one nafs. Real important. When you understand nafs, nafs is spiritual, abstract, not concrete, not palpable, sensible, tangible, weighable, measurable. It is not that. It's real, but it's none of those things. It's real, but it's not material. So that should be one of the first perceptions that we add to our quote-unquote perception of our reality, is that I am something that is intangible. And I say this also, indescribable. Intangible, indescribable, immeasurable, imperceptible, incalculable, just all that. So you're something, we are from something that is of that nature. Then the verse says, خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا, and created from it its mate. So there's the نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ and its mate. Now you should be looking for its mate. Nafsun wahida, all of the things that I described. Just, let's just call it invisible, intangible, dot, 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 dot. But Allah said, and I created from it its mate. Is your right shoe exactly like your left shoe? Think about it. Because if your right shoe is exactly like a left shoe, then you'd have two left shoes. So would you not admit that your left shoe and right shoe are not exactly the same? But they are a pair. Quran, Allah says he created everything in pairs. Not some things. Everything in pairs. Unavoidable in today's headline atmosphere. This somebody wants to say, I'm non-binary? Sorry. There's only two. There's no male, female, and non-binary. Not in reality. Now, you can be in a world of your own making. And in the world of your own making, yeah. You can go to Disneyland and see Casper the Friendly Ghost, too. I mean, it's like there are places where these things that people imagine and fantasize about are created. All right? And you can be there and it can seem ever so real. But let's get away from that. It's not worth the time. So created from it, its mate. What is the mate of that soul that I'm talking about? It's the cosmos. It's the cosmos. That's at large. We'll get to that even more so specifically. But sticking with the self, your body. Make it simple. Your body. Your body, my body, is the mate of our individual soul. Our bodies are the mates of our individual souls. Here's a critical thing, just brother and sister, no matter how long you've been around and been in touch with this. This is what you have to do in order to follow the guidance of Allah. You do have to think logically and coherently. Quran says, who is it that rejects the religion of Abraham but someone who makes himself a fool? And Allah says he will send uncleanness on those who fail to use their intellect. All right, so that being said, you are holding the spirituality of the soul, the self. It's spiritual. We come from that. Then Allah created from it its mate. And we're saying on the individual level, my soul resides in my body. The body, I have further to go. Why are you stopping, brother? Because, you know, you have this whole issue of non-duality and all that mind-body problem, blah, blah. I have to say these things because I see these things and I know it. And there are those who say, yeah, well, he didn't cover this. So I have to mention those things. And I know it's a bit of an interruption, but I got to say it so that I can't be charged with not recognizing other thoughts that are significant for what we're saying. But that being said, Imam Muhammad clarifies, and here's the point, the soul is bigger than the space that your body occupies. I'm stopping because that's a big deal. Your soul is bigger than the space, even though we can get so big and say, man, all his soul must be in there. You know I can't pass up a good joke. Right. No, the soul is bigger than the space that your body occupies. Your body is just the residence of your soul. Your body is your soul's address. So when we say your soul resides in your body, it's just like me saying you reside at your address. But you're not at your address right now. But your address still exists. And that's where you expect to go back to, generally speaking, you expect to go back to, go to sleep, eat, do whatever else you got to do, because that's your residence. Well, that's how it is with the soul. My soul resides in my body. Your soul resides in your body. And this soul that is bigger than the space that our bodies individually occupy, that is the universal soul of which all of us are just parts and extensions of that. All right. So here are two phrases, abstract and concrete. So you look at me, you see the concrete, but you don't see the abstract. You're hearing from the abstract, that's who's talking. And it's using the body as the mechanism to communicate. My larynx and my voice box and my whatever, vocal system, they're not creating these sounds that are coming out of my body. My tongue is not creating the sound that's coming out of my body. My tongue is being used by something that resides in my body to do what that resides in my body says, tongue, do this. So the body is a vehicle that is used by the soul for its life in this world. When the body is gone, when the soul is gone, body has no further use. So it's being used as long as the soul resides in the body. We call it death. When the soul ceases to reside in the body, we say that the person has passed on. Who's the person? The person that was in the body all the time before it, quote unquote, passed on. All right. So we are abstract and we are a concrete body. من نفس واحدة خلق منها زوجها نفس واحدة universal soul of which I'm a part when I'm embodied. So Allah created the nature of soul, He created the body, He gave all of us a part of that soul and a body. And a part of that soul dwells in me, part of it dwells in you and the 7.4 billion other human beings on the earth. All of them are sharers in this universal body. But now, zero, bring your attention just to yourself. Because this is the idea. For you to know yourself, I have a self, you have a self, all of us are a self, even though we come from one universal self. Your life in this world has everything to do with how you manage the relationship between your soul and your body. So all of us are products of how our soul has related to our body and vice versa. It's very important. There are a lot of, you can think about any number of psychological maladies, etc., that have to do with an improper relationship between the soul and the body. You can talk about any of it. The idea of out-of-body experiences and schizophrenia and so many others. There is a dis-ease, there's a disconnect, a lack of concert between the body and the soul. Something is uncomfortable, something is not reconciled in the two of them, and that's what constitutes actually disease. But if you're following me, the idea that we come from nafsun wahida, so God created that first, and then Allah created the mate, for the soul, which is the body, and then even when we talk about there's a kind of wrestling match, excuse me, but I have to put it that way so you can get it more concretely. There's a wrestling match between the soul and the body. Which what is that? Okay, the soul, when the soul makes you aware, and this is at the point where you are aware that you have an obligation under your creator. God created you, and He vested that soul with an obligation. He vested that soul with an obligation. Then He birthed us, quote unquote, into this body. And so now we're in this body, in this world. And the body is saying, I want to do that. And the soul is saying, no, we can't do that because God said we're supposed to do this. Oh, no, I don't feel like doing that. Who's that talking? The body that hasn't come under the control of the best of ourself. And it's a battle. Now, either the body can win or the soul can win. Right? So you have to strengthen your soul in order to win the battle against your body. I'll say it like that first. Your body is not your enemy. It's not your enemy any more than a wild horse or a wild dog. I got to put it this way. Right now, that's the way I feel, making it clear. It's like because we have domesticated animals, When you learn how to domesticate those animals, then they can serve you. So when you domesticate the dog, then the dog can hunt, secure, etc., do other things when you domesticate. But if it's a wild dog, you got an issue with that wild dog for many and several reasons, right? Same way with horses, you know, and any other animal, you know, elephants, those animals that can be brought into service. But they are so big, so wild, so untamed, you have to get the wisdom on how to tame it, train it, domesticate it. Then you can start doing other things that they are good for. It's the same way with our bodies. So this battle doesn't start until puberty. How long has the body been around when puberty shows up? It's been around, whatever, 11, 12, 13 years. And now, especially if and when you're Muslim, now you have a standard that you have to bring that body into conformity to in order to be right with your soul. So that battle between body and soul is one that has to be won in order to make those movements from nafs al-amara, nafs al-lawama, nafs al-mutma'inna. And early on we talked about this, and I'm not going to go back to it, not now, or rather not today, what have you. Just before Ramadan. So if you want to go back and look at the archives and look at what we were speaking of just before, if it was not just before, it was just immediately after Ramadan, about that. Now, so staying with the verse, نَفْسٌ وَاحِدًا خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. What I'm trying to say in all of that is to say, each one of us, as men and women, we are a product of the relationship between our soul and our body. You're going to have to take some time to meditate. I'm not looking for no hip hooray, tuck beers, or anything like that. I'm aware of the level of thought that you have to put into what I'm saying. And I'm inviting you to sit down, meditate, reflect on what I'm saying in this connection, because if and when you get it, you will be in possession of a very important part of the map of your reality. If you can see there's a universal self, but then also there's the individual self, and that individual self is comprised of your share of the universal soul and the body that you inhabit, and your life up to this point is a product of the relationship. I'm talking about your whole life, your business life, your family life, your social life, your academic life. It is all a product of the relationship between you and your body in relationship to all those things I said. Academically, it's a soul-body relationship. Have you advanced academically, or have you not advanced academically, if that's your aspiration? If you haven't advanced academically, ask yourself the question, what has been the relationship of my soul and my body, i.e. my behavior, relative to that? And that will account for how much you have or have not progressed, because your body has taken more of your time and energy and focus away from that. You were doing something else. You can say whatever you want to say. You were doing something else not related to that, and therefore you have less growth there. Now, it's reverse for the other who have said, no, I'm a get this. What did they do? They had domesticated their body behavior well enough to pursue that. They said, no, we ain't going over there tonight. No, we going to study hall. We ain't going over there. No. I can't go to the party. I got a test tomorrow. Who's that? Soul and body. Now, if that soul hadn't been in control of that body, then the body said, we're going to the party. That wasn't the soul saying we're going to the party. That was the body saying we're going to the party, and the soul had no choice since that's where it lives. I really hope you're with me. because we're almost done for this part today. Okay. So then take this. You are the you. Who am I? You. You are the history of the relationship between your soul and your body. That's the way you think. That's the way you feel. That's the way you act. That relationship between soul and body. So when Allah says, and from the two of them, nafsun wahida wa zawjaha, and from the two of them, soul and body, and from the two of them, he scattered countless men and women. He's saying all men and women are a product of the soul and body relationship that they have had in their history. I got to throw in this part here. It's not a focus, but I don't want us to miss the opportunity. And that is, see, racism, sexism, etc., have put out ideas about our bodies and about our souls, some of which we have subscribed to that are toxic, dare I say, in relationship to how we understand the relationship between our soul and our body. Because if somebody has lied to you about what your body means, you're black, get back. Okay, I'm trying to abbreviate it. If you're brown, stick around. Black, get back. Yellow, you're mellow. Whatever. If you're white, you're right. Something like that. That's this world's construct. If you subscribe to it, then that affects your relationship between soul and body. W.E.B. Du Bois, I believe it is, that talked about the double consciousness. I think Ralph Ellison, I think he also talks about that double consciousness, right? The nature of the life of people in these bodies has been distorted and greatly impacted because how that soul relates to that body. And what the world has told those in bodies like these, what that body means. That body means you ain't nothing, you from nothing, you can't be nothing, don't even think about being nothing, nobody ever looked like you, ever was nothing. And the subscription to it can be seen in the money that's made from skin lightener, skin brightener, hair straightener, and all the rest of that. Just being real with you. So the idea is, if somebody lied to you about your body and you take the subscription and you subscribe to what they lied to you about your body, then that sets up a bad relationship between your soul and your body, what you think about your body. And in consequence of that thought, it distorts your behavior, your thinking, your perception, your action, and what exists is the cumulative effect of what your soul has been thinking about your body and how you've been acting in consequence of that. So, we are a product of our body, thus, all men and women, past, present, and future, come from that relationship. So the question is, what's the relationship between your soul, and I'm saying to you, what is the relationship between your soul and your body? Your soul is the thinking, feeling, sensing part of you. So when the thinking, feeling, sensing part of you looks at your body, how does it feel? Does it love your body? Does it hate your body? Does it like your body? Is it ashamed of your body? Is it doubtful? Does it ignore your body? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we conclude, the Prophet said, your body has rights over you. Your body has rights over you. Have we been given our body its rights? Because as that verse ends, it says, وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. It means, and be regardful. If you follow that pattern, if you follow that pattern as an individual, and then when you get to the end of that sentence, into that verse, be regardful of your guardian, evolver, cherisher, and sustainer, the one who created you with a particular form and a particular destiny. Be regardful of him and of the relationships. And we're talking right now just the primary relationship. The first relationship is between your soul and your body. So if your soul and your body has a bad relationship, then that's bad for life, period. So I said, well, taqullah wal arham, and be regardful of relationships. Okay, looking at that first relationship between soul and body, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is our model, says to us, and your body has rights over you. Question, are you giving the body its rights? Are you giving the body its rights? And if you don't know what the rights of the body are, then all you need to do is just study what's good for the body. Just study what's good for the body. And then just set up a set of boxes. Good for the body is this, 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 and this. Okay, now you go back with your pencil and you see how many boxes you're checking. And if these are what's good for the body by nature, then these are the natural rights of the body. And therefore, if you can't check all the boxes for the rights of the body, then that means that we're not respecting that relationship, that primary relationship. And not so doing, that leads to diseases in the body itself, but it also leads to disease in other relationships as well. Okay? ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I hope you've been with me. I'm praying to Allah with every word that you're with me and understanding what I'm saying, that I'm clear. So the last statement is that all men and women, past, present, and future, they come from that relationship. Okay? I know that there's so many details that I just can't speak to right now, but I will say to you, you can hit me. No. Sabilillah, SABILLILLAH at AOL.com. SABILLILLAH at AOL.com. If you have questions, I'm prepared, I'm interested in answering any questions that weren't answered for you in that particular area. From the portion that I've been speaking of so far and to the conclusion of this today. My interest is not to impress you, but to impress you. Impress you in that, to press upon you an understanding that stays with you. That's what I want. I want to impress upon you an understanding that becomes indelible, if possible. Don't want you to ever forget. So I'm telling you, as a soon-to-be 71-year-old man, I'm not getting mixed up. You already 71? No, this year. As a 71-year-old man, coming into the level of understanding that I'm trying to transmit to you, it took all those years. Do you hear what I said? It took all those... Do you have 70 years to get what I'm talking to you right now? If you don't have what I'm telling you right now, and if that's any kind of measure, and I've had, mashallah, this is no boast, I've had a high IQ for a long time. And so if I, Allah, in the utter humility... If it took me this long to get here, and with the help of all that we went through in the Nation of Islam and what Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayh gave us in his 33 years of work, and I'm giving you an understanding that comes from that question, when are you going to get it if you don't already have it? So I'm saying that's my sense of urgency. Because, man, y'all heard me say it. My life is so good with what I'm talking about. My life is good. It can be better. So don't say nothing about it. He jinxing it. I'm a Muslim. So listen. So Love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. Okay, so go on with the point. Okay. You. Now, when I say you, I mean your reality as an individual. I really want you to think about yourself. Think about your name. Think about yourself. That's who I'm talking to. Yourself. It's in the language itself. You are what is called an individual. Individual. In, not, divided, dual, duality. You become an individual when there's a proper, and I'll put it this way, when there's a proper marriage between your soul and your body. When your soul loves your body and your body loves your soul. When your soul relates to the body and gives it its rights that are due, and when the body for the soul does the same. Now you are an individual. You're reconciled. You are an undivided duality. Before that, until we bring ourselves, bodily speaking, until we bring ourselves to act and obey in accordance with the best of what Allah has ordered for us, that's where the work is. The work is, so with body we do XXX, with soul we're aspiring for this, that, and the other, but the soul can't get the body to cooperate as well as it should cooperate in order for them both to get to the destiny that Allah created for them. And that's what Al-Islam is. Al-Islam is about strengthening the soul to be able to domesticate the body and its urges and its impulses and its habits and its appetites and say, no, stop, come over here. Stop doing that, to do this. Alhamdulillah, don't you see? When the adhan goes off wherever you are, that's a call to the soul, and the body might obey and might say, who is that? The soul is saying, we got to pray. Body's saying, But once your soul is in charge of your body, more so, there's no question. It's not long, 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 long. Pray? Okay, now, okay. I can come back to this. You're on a video game. I'm telling you where I've been and came out. My video game was chess, right? Man, chess. I'm about to beat this dude, and he higher rated than me. Oh, man. Allah, Allah, Allah. Okay, who is it? Is it game or is it God? God, game. You better get your behind off that game. But it's with other things. TV show. Whatever else, any number of things can be a distraction. So the point is that you have that kind of self-discipline. So the way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for us in Al-Islam and favored us with in Al-Islam is designed to do that very thing. Shahadatain, you will never confound or confuse anybody with a body as God. Do they have a body? Then they ain't God. That should be pretty easy to get to. But you got a whole crew of people walking around, you know, their last name is God. It's like, I'm God. I'm gonna let that stay over there. Salat is designed to discipline your body to obey God, to obey you and God. First, you got to make your body obey, and then your soul and your body bow down to God. That's salat. Zakat, that's the body again, and the soul again. The tension between the body that, man, I need this. That's the body. Tell me. From the zakat, sadaqah that you're supposed to give, That's the rights of God, be regardful of the relationship. So God has the right and the wealth that he's blessed you with. And then when it comes time to pay that right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the body said, man, we don't need that. Because my car, my rent, my whatever. Who's that? That's something that the body wants. But the soul wants in the end to be in a place where all that stuff is void. So, Al-Islam gives you an opportunity, no body, we gonna do this. I'm gonna recognize God's rights in it, and I respect all the other things that Allah has ordered, and the Prophet has told me, so you can never lose wealth by giving in charity, and what you give is a way to advance yourself. I believe that, I practice that, so body, get on board. Fasting, absolutely. That's particularly what fasting is for. To truly bring the body into domestication by virtue of doing what Allah has ordered for that body in that period of time. And of course, Hajj, in making Hajj, you take your whole body over there. And for men, leave all the trappings that express who you are. You can't wear no crowns, you can't wear no jewelry, you can't wear, you know, a particular kind of hat or thing that says, no, you know who I am. No, we don't know who you are. You are just one soul who's going to die, ultimately, and you're here to let God know that I'm here and I'm ready to die if it's my time.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. So all of that is what we've been given. So when you understand that you, here comes another new little piece. It's a clear statement. Your reality, the unseen you. You are a pattern in creation. It's all from the Quran. I'm going to give it to you. I've given it to you before, and you're going to say, oh, yeah. So who am I really? Here's the question. You're asking yourself, who am I really? I'm telling you who you are really. Remember the beginning of our conversation? Intangible, indescribable, immeasurable, incalculable, invisible, etc. That is you, and you are a pattern in creation. When I say you are a pattern in creation, apply everything that I just said to it. Well, what is the pattern? What does it look like? It's intangible. It's immeasurable, it's invisible, it's incalculable, it's real. It's nafsun wahida. It's real. And that pattern is in you. Not just your physical body. Your soul resides in the body. That means that that pattern resides in the body. Where is that in the Quran? You've heard it hundreds of times from me. فَأَكِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِدِينَ هَنِيفَ فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ. The pattern of God, not that you're God, it belongs to God. God's pattern. God said in the Quran, إِنِّي جَائِلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. God said that. I am making in the earth a khalifa. Then go over to the other verse. خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةً. نَفْسٌ وَاحِدَةً is the essence of khalifa. صفة الله التي فتر الناس عليها. All human beings are patterned on it. There's no different pattern for Chinese, Africans, Europeans, or individuals in this room. There's no different pattern for any of us. We all have the same pattern, but most of us, we don't really understand the nature of that pattern, which is what I'm trying to explain right now. But stay with the verse and follow me, you'll see it, inshallah. فِتْرَةُ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. God says, there's an original pattern that I've made in the individual human being, فَتَرَ النَّاسَ, we're back to النَّاسَ, خَلَقَ يَا يَا النَّاسَ تَقُرَبُكُمْ رَبُّ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. النَّاسَ, Surah 4, Ayah 1, النَّاسَ, and now this one, 30-30, Fitratullahi lati fatara annas, mankind, 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 mankind. Mankind from nafsun wahida. Mankind is made on a pattern. Nafsun wahida, made on a pattern. The pattern is nafsun wahida. You don't see enough Hulu commercials to put that. Nafsun wahida, khalaqa, nafsun wahida, fatara, nafsun wahida. Okay? So you have, the nafsun wahida is the pattern. And then God tells you, okay, it's immeasurable, please listen, it's immeasurable, invisible in and of itself, but فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. If you want to get a sense of the pattern that's in the human being, look at the cosmos. Because فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This being, human being, is patterned on the nature of the cosmos. This is why in the language of the world, it says macrocosm, microcosm. Because you and I are a little small universe. See now, let's go back to lies. It's like, oh man. See, somebody has worked, the world has worked to lie to you about that potential that's in you. You are a universe walking. It's not happy jack rhetoric. This is the Quran. This Lord, cherished and sustainer of all of us, he said, سَخَرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Please. This Lord who created us, this Lord that we bow down and pray to, this Lord that we say we believe in, those Muslims that say, shahadu an la ilaha illallah wa shahadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, this Allah that we say we believe in, this Allah, that Allah, he says, sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. I created all of this to serve you. Well, what do you need to hear say that? You ought to hear Tony Robbins or Les Brown or somebody else say that before you believe it? The Lord that created you. He said, man, don't be complaining about what you ain't got and what you can't get and who's trying to stop you from this, stop you from that. Look into your own self. Realize the power of your own self. Jesus told you that. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added unto you. If you go in, and the kingdom of heaven is within. But here's the challenge, and here's the blessing in Al-Islam, but here's the work. You have to grow the pattern. The pattern is in us like a seed is in the ground. This is, I'm telling you from Quran, but we got to go. That pattern is in us as a seed. You're walking around with this seed that I'm talking about. When I say you, it's all of us. That seed that I'm talking about, that can only be and has only been created by Allah. When Allah said, Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa, flip that a little bit. I said, and say it like this.
I am creating in every soul a dominion, a kingdom. I'm creating in every soul. You're the earth. And in every soul, Allah has planted this pattern. And in that pattern is God's gift to everybody who's living. Everybody who's living has that gift from God as a pattern in their nature. Blessed is he who causes it to grow. You don't need to be looking for some other spiritual system in order to make your deeper self grow. You've got the great favor of the Creator who made you. He said, just do what I tell you to do, and you're going to see this greatness, this cosmic greatness coming out of you, because it's in you. I've given you a way of life to till and garden and cultivate that greatness I put in you, and before you know it, you'll be seeing how great what I put in you actually is. See, but if you doubt that, that's the problem. That's the problem. Oh man, the brother, he was saying all this stuff. It sounded real good, man. That sounds strange to honor. So and so was saying that. So, ninja, please. Come on. Listen, I'm speaking to you from the Lord, cherisher and sustainer of the world. But this is a scientific reality. You advance only in accordance with your deeply ingrained and deepest held beliefs. You can say you believe at this level, but if at the next lower level, not really. But then that's why you don't get the goodies. Because there's a part of you that has a little bit of doubt. And it's the doubt that holds you. Not until you can remove any doubts will you see what I'm talking about. You ain't gonna see it. Why? Why God, just imagine for a minute, God's watching you being told this. And then you talk about you want it. And then God said, but you don't really believe it. So God said, well, why should I give it to him? Why should you give it to him? He don't believe it. He doesn't. See, so a part of what holds us back, if not the main thing that holds us back, is doubt. Translation, disbelief. Translation to Arabic, kufar. Kufr. Kufr, it not only means disbelief, but it also means ingratitude. And I'm going to conclude my statements here. Look at what Allah has done for you. Look at what Allah has done for you. Even if you only talk about what he saved you from. You ain't talking about what he gave you. But what he saved you from. Okay, so you're going to doubt something else from him? Well, God, you're good on that, but I don't know about that part. That's ingratitude. So, may Allah guide us to the best, protect us from our shortcomings. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد Oh, Lord, we thank you for your divine graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for our creation. We thank you for the station that you have given us in creation. Oh, Allah, bless us to see ourselves better. Bless us to see ourselves clearer. Oh, Allah, bless us to be ourselves as you have created us to be. Oh, Allah, make us grateful for your graces, past, present, and future. Oh, Allah, we know that this way of life that you have given us is your great favor and your preference for us. Oh, Allah, bless us to learn it better, to understand it better, to practice it better. Oh, Allah, bless us to realize and to recognize that all help is from you, all grace is from you, all good is from you, and the evil of our lives is from our own selves. Oh, Allah, bless us to manage our existence in a way that is approved by you. And, oh, Allah, make us examples to show that what you have revealed is the truth. Bless us to be able to demonstrate that what you revealed to us is the reality. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa aqimus salat. Allahu Akbar.
All right, everybody, listen. The propagators, they have a question to ask. Here it goes.
Are you?
Who are you?
Are you?
Yeah.
Tell us right now.
We want to know now.
Tell us right now.
Who are you? You say you a black man?
You say you're African-American. You say you're a Malalian. Well, white supremacy was mean. One hell of a machine kept you dormant in your grave. But you rose up and fought. Seems like no results were born from the battle that you waged to kick the so-called white man out. But now he's gone. Who you gonna blame it on? Whitey, 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 you still shout. It's time to grow now. It's time to grow, cause this is a new day. But how you gonna grow? When corruption caused you to move slow, you gotta pluck the weeds away. You got to plow your field before you plant your crop. The wise farmer, he knows how to set a pitch out. Look, aging with time, the song is hard. And so are the people being away from God. It's time to grow. But here's what you say. You did a godfather, man, and Superfly. Them cats will kill. What you telling the farmers on the scene with this weed fucking machine? And them chumps ain't no big deal. Who are you, man? Who are you? And here's what you say. You say there's drug dealing and there's mixing drugs. Man, I'm scared. When you challenge Whitey, you stood firm and mighty. And you won't slap a dope pusher upside his head. Who are you, man? Is your name doctor? Your name lawyer? Your name educator? Who are you? Who are you? Identify yourself, not by what you say, by what you do. Your brother wanna hear from you. Who are you? Come on, cause we wanna know right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for Universal Dimensions of Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we just broadcast yesterday's recording of the Jumu'ah Live Message World theme, part two of the self, under the broad heading, the five obligations for building Ummah. We're working our way through family, intellect, religion, self, and property, not in that order, but we did do family first, and now we're on the self, alhamdulillah, and now we're looking for your comments, and that was the great propagator. It's just, it's really, you know, I don't know, well, mashallah, it is what it is. The 80s, in the late 80s, we had really, really strong, what do you say, sound art productions that supported our dawah, ideology, philosophy, worldview. We need more of that. If I'm missing it, if I'm not seeing it somewhere, y'all need to send me. You need to send me. Really not. This is right on exactly kind of things that Imam Muhammad talks about, that we talked about, what need to be said and sung and expressed today. And of course, that would include poetry and the like. So feed me some. Don't throw it up there. Now, don't hesitate now. Come on through. Right now is the time. Push one on your phone. You got comments, feedback, input, etc. Now is the time to do that. All right. We got Brother Ron.
Yes, sir. Walaikum as-salam. I just was reflecting when you were talking about the person is a product of this relationship between mm-hmm. the mind and the body. And yeah. I just reflected how with just some myths, man, just myths, the whole mm-hmm. power relationship started on a journey that completely just reversal, like reverse polarity, when we heard the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad overnight.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
It's just phenomenal.
Man,
and I was just reflecting on that. That was just powerful, what we
yeah.
did. Yeah, so if you ever get a chance, can you go deeper into that body soul relationship power dynamic based on just the myths that we got? It wasn't even truth.
Well, see that's where our teaching in the there's a difference. Myth is truth that is not necessarily historical.
Historic, right. Right.
Right. So it was the truth. But it wasn't his, and that's why it got us, because it was the truth. And our soul knew the truth that it was expressing. And so the soul grasped it and brought our bodies along for the trip. You with me?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's really what it is. There's a longer teaching on just the issue. Dr. Jonathan Brown, Misquoting Muhammad, the book, Misquoting Muhammad, Dr. Jonathan Brown. You get that and get into the section that talks about the noble lie. The noble lie. It's a philosophical concept and strategy that's been used for thousands of years. That's what Farad did with us. He gave us a noble lie.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you're right. And it was like the soul said to the body, you coming willingly or unwillingly, but you come.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Thank you, brother. That's what I'm like.
All right, Masan. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute radio listening audience. Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say at first, alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I want to say takbir, alhamdulillah, for patience. That Allah is greater, bigger, and more important. What an excellent, excellent khutbah, you know, on this subject of self. You know, I think this is so very, very important. You know, as you gave the word individuality, I was thinking about the word significance, sign if I can see. Mm-hmm. But it's a sign if the eye can see in terms of individuality, non-divided duality. And the beauty of this khutbah, as I see it, how you relate it to ayats in the Quran as a student of Imam Muhammad, as he taught us that you have to make the connections. You have to make the connections. And, you know, being the essence, the essence that make up all human beings. What I see in regards to that, the isms that divide people, if that's truly understood, all the isms, racism, classism, elitism, genderism, sexism, all those isms that divide human beings, in knowing and understanding the depth of what Allah is conveying there, that all human beings have one single essence. Very, very important, but it has a mate. You know, it has a mate, as Allah has said in the Quran about creating in pairs. And seeing that that body becomes a mate, and the union, which is very important, you spoke about that in terms of the marriage, reconciling how the body and the soul are to work together. This is very, very important. And the, Imam Muhammad said also that the soul, it is nurtured and is cultivated with truth, you know, and that this pattern that you went to 30-30 on is the same pattern that's in the rest of creation. So this needs to be understood in terms of that pattern being devoutly obedient. The difference is that Allah created us to be the Khalifa, which meaning have responsibility over yourself, responsibility over in terms of the creation itself, but it has to be obedient. And that's what we see in the cosmos, as Imam Muhammad spoke about the cosmic man or the cosmic mind, in understanding that and taking revelation that's being revealed. You know, so we see this Khalifa that is personified in the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see the perfect human being that Allah was making from the very beginning. That's why Imam Muhammad say that Adam is Muhammad in its most complete and true form. Very, very important in terms of seeing that. And then what did he do in terms of actually ascending? He established the Ummah, as you're saying. Yes, sir, I know I exceeded my time, so let me stop. Man, but this is really beautiful. I really, really appreciate appreciate this. Yes, sir, I'll stop there. I can say a lot more, but I want you to know I'm getting it, Brother Imam, and thank you so much for presenting this.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Thank you so much. The praise belongs to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, so I'm so hard to cut my brother off because he is he's very studious, well expressed, but we only have so much time. We have to work out other means. And y'all be sure to check in with Mark on his broadcast. I don't know if anyone listening or Mark, even if you can, send me a way for me to post the times for your broadcast, your blog type broadcast, and I'll include them in the chat so that people can get it. So if you can get to someone who can get it to me, and then I'll put it in the chat so that people can get it. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is fill in, how can you say, make bold and underscore some things that were said yesterday. I'll try not to get ahead of the subject for next Friday, but I want to underscore and bring out, inshallah, with Allah's help, bring out some things a little more for understanding what has already been said. I'm going to read the paragraph. This is the paragraph. And those of you who are on Blog Talk, you can look, or rather you can go online don't know, however you see the announcement for the Blog Talk Radio broadcast, these sentences are in that topic description. But these sentences were, or rather, and these sentences were also the foundation of everything that you just heard, if you heard the khutbah either Friday or this morning. Says the sentence is, we are created from a universal soul that is reflected in matter. Excuse me. So you can treat that as just one sentence. We are created from a universal soul that is reflected in matter. Surah 4, Ayah 1 is the foundation verse for that, as Mark said, the essence. خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, the verse says. And that's the universal soul. And وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, and its mate is matter. You can just take it as, you can take that as matter first. But that's where we are reflected, and vice versa. The soul reflects the universe, and the universe is a reflection of the soul. Macrocosm, microcosm. Those of you who are familiar with the language in the Kabbalion, you know, don't worry about it. Don't base your whole life on it. But it's not something to be just dismissed, but you should take it as something extra to sort of like reaffirm it. I believe they can be usefully called as witnesses to the truths that Allah has revealed to us, the Prophet has given to us, so-called as witnesses, not as the prime proofs, but as witnesses. That the all is in the small, that everything, quote unquote, is mental. So I'll go ahead and say this. You know, this is we just have to learn how to move our thinking levels on. That's just moving on, right? Listen, when Allah says خَلَقَكُم مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, then it says خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, created from it its mate. Right now, you can leave that statement all in the abstract and treat it as though, well, it really doesn't have any meaning for me in practical terms in my everyday life. You can treat it like that if you want to, and then it's like maybe at some level in terms of your progression, maybe it won't make a difference to you because you don't know what you're missing, right? And since you don't know what you're missing, you don't feel a sense of absence in terms of what's lost in not knowing that. So what you don't know that you don't know, and the impact of not knowing what it is that you don't know, is such that it doesn't make a difference in your life as you have defined it. So therefore, you're satisfied where you are, and that's good. Alhamdulillah, satisfaction, wonderful. But once you take a step beyond and into, as we are invited to, ask, what does that mean? You read it, okay? Yeah. What does that mean? خَلَقَكُم مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, created from its mate. You should. Why? Because Allah is telling you, this is you. Allah is telling you, this is how I created you. This is where you start. This is your origin. This is your reality. That's what Allah is saying right there. You should ask, what is that? Okay, so let's move on. You have this nafsun wahidatin, then khalaqa minha zawjaha, and created from it its mate. All right? What does that mean? Okay, so if the nafsun wahidatin is spiritual, then the other thing, its mate, is material. is material. It's matter. It's matter. So what does that say? It says that the unseen came before the seen. The unseen came before the seen. The spiritual came before the material. The spiritual came before the material. Now, you know, some things I just say is that, hey, you can leave it alone, or you can go look into it if you want to. But you do it because that's what you want to do. Those things, mashallah, I mean, as a teacher in relationship to these things that I'm talking about, I do have a sense of responsibility to say, okay, well, look, everybody's not going to take the time or have the wherewithal to delve, you know, layer by layer into some of the things that you talk about. And to the extent, I'm speaking to myself, to the extent that you know that these things are valuable for them to know, but also some of them are, you know, harder to reach because of the fact of some people just lack the experience and the capability of knowing how to put this together, how to ask this question, how to connect this with that, then I have this responsibility to make it palatable, make it manageable. And this is the order from the imam. So we have to seek to, I'm use this term, decipher these complicated ideas to make them accessible to the common person. You've heard me read a quote from him effectively that's just saying just that. Like, those who have the wherewithal, you need to take the complicated things, unquote-unquote complicate them, and give access to them from those sources that are, for them, somewhat unreachable, but they need to have the benefit of it because there's benefit for them. And, of course, the hadith of the Prophet says that the bit of knowledge is the lost property of the believer, and wherever they find it, they have more of a right to it. So real deep knowledge is our human inheritance, and also it's a part of the legacy of Imam Muhammad, the will that he had for us to go and get more of these things that are around, these ideas that we're surrounded by and that others are getting benefit from, but we're not getting benefit from them, so we shouldn't just wait for them, the quote-unquote, the scholastic class, to Muslim and non-Muslim, to share these things with us. Okay. All right. So now that being said, what this verse has told us, which came first, spirit or matter? Which came first, spirit or matter? Spirit came first. Then matter comes after that. And there's a way of seeing to understand that. I'll give you a concrete example because, you know, again, you have to go from the example and say, okay, well, then that's the sign of it. Okay, and the sign of it is you have hydrogen and oxygen, right? Hydrogen and oxygen. So then you put the right combination of hydrogen and oxygen, both gases, invisible, right? You have hydrogen and oxygen. Then in the right combination, what do you get from those gases? You get liquid. Liquid. So what is this water? Water is liquid. Where did it come from? Here's the thing that you can feel, touch, et cetera, et cetera. Where did it come from? It comes from two things that you can't, quote unquote, feel or touch in this heavy way that we're talking about, right? Oxygen, there's no quote unquote substance in the formal sense that when we start talking about substances. Oxygen, same way. Hydrogen, oxygen, same way. Okay, but then you put those two things together and you get something that you can see and that you can weigh and that you can touch, but it came from something that you couldn't see. Both of them. There wasn't some other sneaky third thing in there that that's where it came from. No, it was just gas. Gas, liquid. Liquid, oh, I see it. I feel it. I taste it, quote unquote. All right, so there's an example of that. Okay, so keep it moving. It's like now the water under the right condition can become ice, right? Become ice. So now that's solid, right? The ice is solid. So he got this solid coming all the way from a gas that has no quote-unquote tangibility in the most primitive sense. But it goes from two gas to a liquid to a solid. So there is in your everyday experience the invisible becoming visible. So when someone tells you that matter came from spirit, that the concrete came from the abstract, then move it up. You know, you start with a physical thing, which is only a sign to let you know what goes on in the mind. There, let's go ahead and work with the rhyme. You get the physical sign to let you know what's going on in the mind. So the abstract and matter, we're talking about that's from a universal perspective. First there was the unseen, and then the Allah brought from the unseen the seen. Right? Okay. The same way with the soul, khalaqa minha zawjaha, it's mate. So all this boils down to that. So we are both abstract and concrete, right? Abstract, concrete. So we can take that description as I've done, take that description to say God is helping us to understand you are a composite being. You are a composite being. Part of you is intangible. Part of you is tangible. As an individual, you are an undivided duality. So everybody living is an individual. Everybody living is an individual. Let's move on. All of us are products of how our soul has related to our body and vice versa. And then the khutbah was all about that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you draw back, you look at the totality of the nature of creation, when Allah says, kun fayakun, so starting from there, starting from the perspective of there is only Allah, he alone exists, right? He alone exists. Then he decided to bring in creation, and he said to it be, and it is, right? And so he created what he created to begin with. At this juncture, on the base of this verse, he just said, I created you from nafsun wahida. He's talking to us from nafsun wahida. He obviously then had created nafsun wahida before the audience that he's speaking to exists. He said, let me tell you where you come from. This is Allah. Let me tell you where you come from. I created all you all from nafsun wahida. So Allah is saying he created nafsun wahida. So he created nafsun wahida, whatever that is, right? And then khalaqa minha zawjaha, and created from it its mate, right? And we said that it's matter. Allah knows best. Now, on the individual level, you and I have to adjust to our existence in the body and in creation. Let's go to the baby. I won't go all the way to the womb, but 23:12-14, God says also in the Quran, he created you in the butun of the mother through three veils of darkness, the sign, but Keeping it physical, you have the physical womb, the sperm, egg, blah, blah, 23:12-14, out of it another creature, all right? So that's what I'm speaking to right now, 23:14, then out of it another creature. So I'm talking about us as individuals. Imam Muhammad said, if you want to know how quote-unquote evolution occurred or happened, you know, our growth He said, it's just whatever's going on in the womb is a repeat of everything that ever happened. What happens in the womb is the total history of what happened in the total life of man. When you understand that, you understand the totality of man, quote unquote, human evolution as a being in creation, whatever's happening in the womb is a sign of what happened universally for us to get to where we are right now. And so obviously we're not going to try to, you know, walk step by step through all of that, but just let us just begin with the idea, here comes the baby, right? So you have the baby, and so the baby, the breathing baby, and body, that is Nefsun, that is the individual soul in an individual body. So that's a little package of the totality. The baby is a little package of the totality. You have a soul in there, even though it's not yet conscious of itself. You have a soul in there, and of course you have the body. The body is the mechanism, body is the vehicle, which is going to grow with the soul, and the soul grow with it. The soul and the body grow. So it's whatever, little child, 1 year old, 2 year old, 5 year old, whatever. Okay, then we come to this other stage. Now, let's just deal with the individual, just the individual. The baby has to learn, what is this? The baby goes to a mirror. A baby has to learn who it is and what it is that I'm looking at. The baby, you know, taking his foot, putting it in his mouth, et cetera. So all that self-discovery. So there's a state that ultimately has to be arrived at to where the soul and the body are able to say, we're together. We don't say it that way, but we realize at some point in time, and here's the words, this is my body. This is my body. What's saying that? The soul. For all intents and purposes, the soul is saying, this is my body. So there's a point at which the soul recognizes that there's a body that belongs to it. That this is my body. This is my body. And so therefore, now it goes along with that sense of ownership, right? It goes along, you know, crawling, picking up things, et cetera, et cetera. No debate, no discussion, nothing, no lack of clarity about my body, right? That's fine. Then we get to puberty. Let's move on to puberty. So the body has been, quote, unquote, claimed, and there's a responsible entity inside of it that has a will, that has been making it and causing it to do it. If it's playing baseball, playing jacks, jump rope, or hopscotch, or what have you, it's like that being is totally in control of that body relative to what it wants to do. All right. Well, then when it reaches puberty, new existential stage is reached for that soul and that body. That existential state that has been reached, called puberty, and now life takes on a different tone. Excuse me. Life takes on a different tone. And that's when the conflict to come into a moral consciousness. I'm going to use that word, even though there's some issues with it. But moral conscience, right? And that moral conscience effectively, as we said, a battle between the body and, I'm saying, the soul. But let me go ahead and make this distinction too as well. There's a lot down the road, but I can say these things at this juncture because all I'm trying to do right now is track us out of the womb from a baby up to puberty. And now here is the real existential, is this first existential awakening that has to do with the conflict between the body and the soul, meaning the soul's aspirations and the soul's obligations in the social environment that it finds itself to control the body that it has been all the time before, allowing the body, and it's natural, allowing the body to do whatever is good for it, whatever it feels good, whatever feels good, basically. And whatever doesn't feel good, stay away from it. Whatever does feel good, you can go to it. So before puberty and as a child, that's the pure orientation of it. But then when you get older, then you come into arenas of responsibility and expectation and challenges and urges, what have you, that are not automatically approved by the soul. The soul is, I don't know if we should do that. Who is that? That's body and soul having a conversation. So we have that. Just a little quick thing about the soul, right? There's a division, there's a quaternary division that is identified as the soul. Imam Ghazali, I subscribe to it. There are others that have other minor differences to it, but it's broadly accepted that the soul, the nafs, even our individuality, we're away from nafs al-wahida. Now we're at our individual self. And each one of us has qalb, aql, which is a small nafs, which is really your socialized self, and ruh, okay, meaning that it's like the heart has four chambers. Just trying to give you an idea. Like the heart has four chambers. It's been accepted broadly that the soul has these four components, right? The soul has these four components. Aql, intellect, qalb, the seat of affection and understanding, nafs, your socialized self. The Quran says everyone acts according to the way that they've been socialized. So all of us have been socialized in some way. And so each one of us, as you can say, also, the mind is the personalization of the brain. Brain is part of the body. But everybody's brain patterns are not the same. Brain patterns come from socialization. Brain pattern is also your personality, right? Your personal reality, right? And your personal reality comes from your experience, and your experience was giving your brain patterns. Your brain patterns was giving your personality. So that's the nafs with a small n nafs. And then you have ruh. Ruh is spirit, right? Ruh is spirit. Now, you can, again, ruh, just like big nafs, khalaqakum min nafsun wahida, that's the big nafs, nafsun wahida, the universal soul, nafsun wahida. But then we just talked about, you have the little nafs, which is your socialized self, okay? So that's small nafs, right? Okay, you apply the same principle to ruh, apply the same principle to ruh. So the ruh is, there's this universal spirit, ruh, universal spirit, and that also, take that as quote-unquote God's spirit. Not God's life, meaning God's life. God says, وَنَفَخْتُ رُوحُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ رُوحِي. That's what I have breathed into him of my spirit. When I have breathed into my, so my spirit in him, my spirit is not my, capital M-Y, that is Allah's spirit, when I have breathed into him of my spirit. So Allah gives us something of his spirit. That doesn't make us God. That's just a part of the grace and the blessing of our creation, that we have in us the, we say, something of the Spirit of God. So you got to be careful in the way you say it. It is that we have in us the Spirit of God. No, you don't have the Spirit of God. You have something of God's Spirit in you. Just like we, each one of us individually, are not the totality of Nafsum Wahida, but each one of us is a sharer in Nafsum Wahida. We are an expression of Nafsum Wahida. Okay, we have also in us Ruh. We are quote-unquote sharers in, because Allah said it, I have breathed into him something of my spirit. So he said he gave it to us, so we acknowledge that it's there, but it is not all of God's spirit, and it's not God, quote-unquote, himself, but it's something of his spirit. So there, so you could have this, you know, capital R, Ruh, and then small R, Ruh, just like capital N, Nefs, and small N, Nefs. So that's our composition. That's the broadly accepted composition. Allahu A'lam, Allah knows the reality. But it's the workable understanding of it. And there's a lot of logic that supports it. Either way, so you have aql, intellect, qalb, affection and seat of affection, and understanding. Nefs, socialized personality. Ruh, the spirit in us, is in us as human beings, is obedience to certain influences. Obedience to certain influences. Excuse me. We are a spiritual creature, right? We are a spiritual creature, which means that we obey certain influences. So that spirit is a very major factor in how we are influenced to behave. Okay. All right. So in all four of these, aql, qalb, nafs, ruh, in all four of these, at our beginning, I talk about reaching puberty, right? So you have all these things, all these components. They are there and present, but they are not all matured. When I say matured, they are not all at the destiny for which they have been created. When we reach puberty, we're not at home. When we reach puberty, that's really the starter pistol of life. I'm going to use that language. When we reach puberty, now life begins. That life that will be, we want the judgment. The quote-unquote judgment starts there. Listen, not the day of judgment, Yom HaKiyamah, meaning evaluation of behavior. If you pass before puberty, if you die before puberty, you go straight to Jannah. Jannah is promised because you died in a state of fitr. But puberty, once you crossed over puberty, then the book is open and the writing begins. Okay? And our qalb, aql, nafs, ruh are not at their destiny. They are not perfected. They're there. But they have to be purified. Okay? So the verse 91:7, the verse is 91:7-10, that you hear me on a regular basis, and of its وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. By the soul and the proportionate order given to it. So this is one of the reasons why we should also be thinking, even though that soul in me is the same in abstract anatomy is the same in you. So just like my body is a human body, so my organs are going to be organized the same way as your body, human body, same way with the soul. Okay, so the human body is universal then. Human body is universal because everybody has the same body in this anatomical sense. Okay, it's the same way with the soul. The soul is, we need to create a word. We'll work on something. So there's probably a word that already exists where I said, I don't know. But if we could talk about the abstract anatomy, right? That works. Our abstract anatomy is just like our physical anatomy in that it is universal for human beings. Well, psychically, abstractly speaking, the soul is also universal. The soul is universal. So the same abstract anatomy for my soul as a psychic body is the same as the one for you. Okay. So then when Allah says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, you should hear in that, Allahu A'lam, you should hear in that, okay, well, this is not nafsun wahida that he's speaking to in these set of verses first. That's not what he's speaking to first. He's speaking to your and my individual soul, even though that soul is universal. He's speaking to وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, by the soul and the proportion and order given to it. This is a soul that has been structured. فَأَلْحَمَهَا, and its enlightenment as to what would benefit it and what would harm it. So that brings it much more into a personal domain as opposed to خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. That soul, just the sound of it as it's being described and its place and time of its existence is away from us individual. Allahan, I'm just sharing my thinking with you. Okay, in any case, so then and its enlightenment as to what would benefit one is taqwa and its fujur, right? That's also another reason to say that we're talking personal here. It's taqwa and its fujur. So this nafsun wahida, it is, quote-unquote, perfect in its creation, right? That's the ideal soul, the ideal self, the universal self, that self that Allah is that is the foundation for all human existence. But now when it gets particularized, now you start getting the khair and the shar. You start getting the potential benefit and the potential harm. Where does that happen? In the world as it exists, because that's where the benefit and the harm, the potential good and potential bad, that's where it exists. It exists in the world where there are these antagonisms, right? God says, get ye down from here. On earth will be your dwelling place for a time. Get ye down from here. It says, and at least the translator, I'm not looking at the verse right now, but one of the translators parenthetically said, with enmity between you. this is the arena of conflict. Three-dimensional space is the arena of conflict. This is where the potential good and evil, this is where the potential benefit and harm happens. Not at the origins of creation, because there is no, let's go ahead and say that, there is no original sin, right? So at the origins of the nafsun wahidatin, you don't have these conflicts, these oppositions, etc. It's one. But now when from it, its mate and you and I as individuals in this three-dimensional space of pleasure and pain, benefit and harm, its taqwa and its fujur is important, okay? So this nafsun wahida, fa'alhamaha fujura, and its enlightenment as to what we're benefiting from. So we all have in us that soul that is in us. It does. It is enlightened. It knows what's right and what's wrong, and that's where the trial is, to know more about what you quote unquote have been engendered with, endowed with by Allah. It's about coming into grasp and understanding of that and living that out. But I'm really trying to just get these four things understood, because I'm saying to you that taqwa, fujur and taqwa, qad aflaha man zakaha. Qad aflaha man zakaha. This also is pointing back to the fact that it is talking about us as individuals, right? As undivided dualities. Here's your trial. Here's your challenge. Qad aflaha man zakaha. Blessed is he who causes it to grow. Right? So then identifying that it is what's necessary, right? And so the soul and its four components, as accepted, the soul and its four components, qalb, aql, nafs, ruh, that's what has to grow. And that's what also constitutes the pattern. Those have to grow. And what is growth? Growth is that, I'm not all the way, I'm in that last sentence, that was the second part of the khutbah. We stated in it, it says, you are a pattern in creation, and your growth is the growth of that pattern. You are a pattern in creation. Even as we talk about us as abstract beings, abstract is all those things we talked about, intangible, immeasurable, invisible, but real. All of those things are real, right? Immaterial, but real. Okay, and that's who you are. You are immaterial, but real. You are a pattern. You are a pattern, that exists, right? We see these bodies, but we don't see our reality. Our reality is simply a pattern, right? That is a reality, all right? And the growth of that pattern, I mean, to try to give you a little bit of ease on that if it's struggling with it. So it's like you are in creation, and your growth is the growth of that pattern. I've already, you've explained, 30-30, God tells you you're a pattern. Fitakullahi latifat ala nas alayha. That's God telling you, you're a pattern. You're a pattern. So, and the growth is the growth that blesses he that causes it to grow. So your growth is the growth of that, is the growth of that pattern. What does it mean in concrete terms? It's the growth in your level of perception and competence in the content of that pattern. See, inside that pattern is the gift. It's the gift of you that you are. That is, yes, you are a pattern, and that pattern holds all your blessings. Qad aflaha man zakaha. That pattern holds all your blessings. So you have to cultivate the pattern. When you cultivate the pattern grows. And growth in the pattern is growth in perception and competence in the content of that pattern. See? When you grow in, oh, I see it. But if you imprison, I don't see it. So that means, and listen, that's okay. We all don't see it before we come to understand it. Like, understanding is the vision. When you understand it, oh, I see. That's what we say. Oh, I see. But you can't say that until you understand it. And you won't say that until you understand. If you're honest, you won't say that until you understand it. So, okay. I hear what you're saying, but I don't get it. Okay, so that means you still don't see it, right? But then when you understand it, then you will see it. Then when you see it, okay, so now you have an increased perception of it. Okay, and now when you have an increased perception of it, Now, what you see is something that you're supposed to do something with. You see it, and then you're supposed to act in a certain way so as to have it impact your life and the life of the world. That is, okay, pattern, realize, oh, I see. Okay, now what can you do with what you see? Okay, I see. Okay, what can you do with what you see? Because what you're supposed to do is take what you see and become more confident in its utility, right? The one who succeeds is the one who causes it to grow, right? And that growth puts you in a position to be more useful to yourself, to your family, community, nation, etc. But you have to come into this grasp of your own reality first. Let me see if I can cut this. This much there. So let's go back to the four parts of the nest as accepted. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. That means causing all four of those, which are the components of the soul, cause all four of them to grow. What is the growth of akal? Was the growth of akal intellect? Obviously, it's the accumulation of knowledge, but it's also the growth in an intellect that obeys the will of God. That's what that hadith is telling us more about. It's saying God told the intellect when he created it, he told it to stand up, it stood up, sit down, told it to go back, it went back, told it to come forward, it came forward, and the rest of the hadith where it says that, and God says, and I have created nothing more useful, more excellent than you, the intellect. So the goal is to have an obedient intellect. Understand this, brothers and sisters. There is no correlation between IQ and morality. Okay, no correlation between IQ and morality. So then that means the intellect can be used for immoral things. That's a bad intellect, right? Evil genius as a concept. So its growth is growth in knowledge, but also in obedience to the creator, right? Intellect, right? So that's the purification and the growth of the aql, right? Aql and then qalb. Qalb is heart and understanding, right? Heart, feelings and understanding, right? And that means, you know, Quran talks about it may be that you love something that you should hate, maybe that you hate something that you should love, so you want to be in a position where you're loving the right things and hating the right things. What is that? That's the heart, right? And understanding, the heart is the level of understanding because understanding is abstract. Understanding is not an intellectual thing. The intellect does what it does. So that's brain. That's brain. That's intellect. That's reasoning, logic, computation, all that brain stuff, right? But what does it mean? Well, it's the heart that decides what something means. Right, and so the heart is what interprets. Brain serves up, right? What the brain serves, and on the other side of it is the heart that puts the brain on its mission as well, right? So interest, intellect is the servant of interest. Intellect is the servant of interest. So what your heart wants, it'll put your brain to work to go get it, right? But if the aspiration that the heart has put the intellect on a mission for is a corrupt mission, well, so now you got a corrupt heart with a corrupt brain on a corrupt mission. No good, right? No bueno. So no, that's not good. So the growth, which is also purification, growth and purification of the heart, is again having the heart aspiring to and interested in those things that Allah would have it interested in and that pursue, for it to pursue, and its desires. So purifying the desires, purifying the aspirations, that because the heart is going to put the intellect to work to do whatever it desires. And that's why one of the prophets said, he says that if there's a piece of flesh, it's good. The whole body is good. If it's bad, the whole body is bad. That's the heart. Yeah, there's that bodily, that's true, but also abstract anatomy, psychically speaking, that is, yes, also true as well. If the heart is corrupt, then it's going to put the intellect on corrupt missions, blah, blah, blah. And if the heart is corrupt, then also the understanding is going to be bad and extremely limited. And Allah talks about putting a seal over the heart so that you're blind, deaf, and dumb. Let's move on. So the purification of the heart is the purification of interest and purification of desires, having them to conform to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have that person to conform and aspire to. All right. So that's aql, qalb, nafs. The nafs, the personality. Socialization, that is your values and your behavior, right? So everyone acts according to the way that they've been socialized, right? So your personality has to do with your socialization. That is, whoever you are and however you behave, the goal is to have it to conform to the value set that Allah wants you to conform to. And so the idea of seeing the way that Allah would have you see, being the way that Allah would have you be, that which is all this, the way you see something, the way you act on something, your behavior, et cetera, all that is the purification of personality. Your personality, it's better when it is conforming to what Allah has ordered and it is beneficial to the society of which you are part. You're part of society. You're socially redeeming when your behavior is socially acceptable, quote unquote. I won't go into all that. Well, where are you? Who are you? Because in certain environments, certain behaviors are acceptable, but the environment itself is a corrupt environment. So you can be socially acceptable in a corrupt society, and within that's still not good relative to al-Islam. So relative to al-Islam, the idea is for you to promote and behave and perceive and act in accordance with a set of universal values that are approved by God. This is also why the Muslims, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَنَعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. We need to have an ummah so that we are in a healthy society, which itself in turn produces healthy individuals because its natural socialization process produces healthy individuals. And so in that way, the personalities are well-formed, and they are well-formed in a well-formed environment. And so that dynamic keeps good people growing and evolving. I often quote the Frederick Douglass piece that crime has the ability to preserve itself and promote the conditions for its own existence. And I usually just take the word crime out and apply it to culture. Culture has this capacity for reproducing itself and perpetuating the circumstances needed for its own existence. Well, on the good side of things, that's what Ummah is supposed to do. Let there arise out of you a people calling to all that is good and joining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, believing in God. They are the ones that will be successful. All right, okay, well, Ummah, because the personality is dependent on the collective. Right, but if you have a bad collective, then it's hard to get a good individual from a bad collective. So the collective has to create the environment that the individual is socialized in so that they will be good people. But that is always the goal of the individual. I've heard these stories about people, and you've heard them too, people who were born, the parents were drug dealers, the parents were gangsters, the parents were, you know, corrupt people are different, and yet these people escape their parents so that they can go be something else, better than what their parents were, right? So their personality and their quote-unquote, that aspect of their soul moved them away, by the grace of Allah, moved them away so that they could form a better personality by being in a better environment, blah, blah. But that's the growth of the soul. The growth of the soul is to become a more, quote-unquote, socially, that's in quotes, socially accepted and accepted in a society itself that is socially acceptable. That's the personality growth. Let's finish up. The ruh is spirit, right? The spirit. Spirit is obedience to certain influences. Trying to go all this, but mashallah, it is what it is. And I'm not going, that's not my plan, going to all this in the upcoming Juma. There's another piece. Some of this will come into it, but I'm not even going to try to predict what's going to happen. But in terms of, so we talked about aql, qalb, nafs, and now ruh. Ruh, spirit. I have to tell you, I have to give you five more letters. You note takers, you're in the best condition, in the best situation, because if you get this and you connect, you're in very good. But you've heard this from me before. Now, but the key here is we're talking about ruh. Ruh, translation spirit. And we've already talked about the big ruh, small ruh, right? The five letters of these, E, V, E, D, A. Environment, and you can add to that, environment, education, and experience. I usually just use environment to start the conversation. Okay, everything, it starts with the environment. Values, which now you can also add to that, viewpoint and vocabulary, environment, education and experience, values, viewpoint, and vocabulary. It's all of us. So you got E cubed, V cubed, right? Three E's, environment, education, experience. Three V's, values, viewpoint, or vocabulary. Next, E squared, education or experience. Emotions and expectations. Emotions and expectations. So we have E cubed, V cubed, E squared, which is emotions and expectations. Then EVE, is that that? D, disposition. Disposition. Disposition is the average way that you will see a person whenever you encounter them. A person has a pessimistic disposition, 3 out of 5 times they're going to be pessimistic when you meet them. A person has an optimistic personality, then they're going to be optimistic 3 out of 5 times that you meet them. Disposition. So that's D. And then A is action. A is action. Actions. All these four add up to the fifth. Your environment, your education, your experience leads to your values, your viewpoints, your vocabulary, leads to your emotions and expectations, leads to your disposition, leads to your behavior or your actions. Right? All right. Now, take a parenthesis and put it around the V-E-D, the V-E-D, your values, viewpoint, vocabulary, your emotions and expectations, and your disposition. That is your spirit. That's your spirit. How can you say that? Spirit is obedience to certain influences. Spirit is obedience to certain influences. So when someone, I hesitate, you know, I'm not trying to get all into the weeds with it, but it's just so right there in terms of our lives. So in the Juma, I use the term non-binary, right? I used it to say that there is no such thing when it comes to gender, There's no such thing. Not in reality. Not in reality. There's only two. So life is binary. Yin and yang. That's how it is. I mean, that's how it is. That's reality, right? So now, different people, their VED is going to respond differently to, there's no such thing as non-binary. Somebody with a VED that says, that is inside of a mind, that says that, no, that's not, he ain't telling the truth. Well, see, that's your values, your viewpoint, your vocabulary, your emotions, your expectation, your disposition responding to my statements. That's your spirit, right? So your values, viewpoint, vocabulary, your emotions and expectation, your disposition is your spirit, right? So if the growth, it says, blessed is he that causes it to grow. So all these things, all four of these things is in the soul. So when my body grows, the whole body grows, okay? When the soul grows, then everything in the soul grows, right? But we are particularizing a focus to say, okay, well, what makes the qalb grow? What makes the intellect grow? What makes the nafs grow? What makes the ruh grow? That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. So what causes the ruh to grow is having a spirit that's aligned with the values, viewpoints, vocabulary, emotions, expectation, disposition that Allah would have you to respond to. That's it. I mean, that's it. So as long as your spirit, if you're not in control of your spirit, if you're not aware of your spirit, whatever, if you don't cause your spirit to incline to what Allah has for you as a viewpoint, as values, as vocabulary, as emotions, as expectation, as a disposition, then your spirit is not aligned with what Allah has created you for. So the growth of the ruh, its purification from it, is the purification of those three things at least, right? You have to purify your viewpoint, purify your vocabulary, and it really starts with the vocabulary. Get the right vocabulary, everything else is going to have everything else going to fall in line, inshallah. So, of course, get your vocabulary from the Quran, get your vocabulary from the Prophet. For us, we get our vocabulary from the Imam, rahimahullah alayh. So vocabulary, because the vocabulary influences your values and your viewpoints, right? Okay, so you get the right vocabulary, then you get the right values, you get the right viewpoint, then you get the right emotions, you get the right expectations, then you get the right disposition, and then what follows that is the right behavior. So get that VED segment together, you'll be there. All right. So as relates to that soul, we talk about the baby, we talk about the purity. Puberty. You get the puberty. The battle begins at that time. What is the battle? To cause the soul to grow, which means cause all four of these dimensions that I just talked about, to cause that to grow. Now, that's where the challenge is. So you have to know more about all these aspects of your own self and be able to know when they're on the rails or when they're off the rails. That's the battle. The battle is, and the effort, the desire, the goal, the mission, the plan, the work is to keep our souls on the track that Allah would have them on, have them be on. And that's what Al-Islam is. Al-Islam is a way of being whose practice keeps us on track. When you don't practice it, you're more than likely going to go off track. When you do practice it, then you're on track. And it is a natural track. It's a natural, it's not mechanical, it's not robotic, it's natural. So, alhamdulillah, that's what it's going to be for today. So we're going to check out. Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, Zakiya, Jerome, alhamdulillah, Saqi, Bashir, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum to you all and those of you. Blog Talk, always Thank you. All right, so tomorrow, remember, daylight saving time ends. So we go back to, what do you call it, standard time. So those of you who have classes with us, so those a clear understanding is that we have our project and biweekly session. We will have that tomorrow at 10. And those of you who are in the Shadow Pain Institute, we will also have our class at 12, same time. But make sure you change your clock. Most of us have these automatic computer clocks, but make sure you change the clock or you're going to be, an hour late. Class might be over. All right. God's peace be on everybody. Have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.